a passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And Paul here speaks of a mystery, but a mystery that was revealed. A mystery that was revealed to him, which he in turn reveals. A mystery which he expects us to understand, those who are reading, to understand. Notice what he says again. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And he goes on. But Paul talks about revealing this mystery. It was a mystery, but it was something that was revealed to him. It was something which he wrote down, something which he explained in his letters, and something which we are to understand. I just want to talk about this mystery this evening. I want us to discuss this mystery just a little bit and what the Bible says about this mystery. It was revealed to him in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the first messianic prophecy. When you read that, now suppose you never heard anything about the scriptures. Supposing you are standing back there in the days of Adam and Eve, and God is pronouncing the curse upon you and upon man and woman and Satan, and he says there, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now you read that, and what does that mean? You don't know. It's unknown what that means. Without explanation, without further explanation, you don't know what that means. Because it becomes a mystery to us. We do not know what it means. We read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The first time God reveals what we call the Abrahamic promises. And it says, God says to him, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, we know when we read that, we know what he's talking about. But let's just say we didn't know Jesus Christ. Let's say we weren't living 2,000 years after Jesus. We read that and we say, what does that mean? What is he referring to? And of course, the answer is no. We don't know what he's referring to. God knows what he's talking about. But Abraham doesn't have any specifics. We wouldn't have any specifics. It would be unknown without Christ. It would be unknown without it being revealed to us what the answer to that was. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, another example where it talks about the coming kingdom. We know that, but those who are who were reading that, those who wrote that even, they didn't understand what it was that was coming, a stone that was cut without human hands. And it was going to be coming, it was going to strike at the feet of the fourth kingdom, and it was going to grow. What does that mean? Well, we wouldn't know.
It would be a mystery. Even though God is revealing these things, we don't know what they mean without the answer being given to us. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, it's simple. When we read John chapter 1 and verse 29, we know. We know exactly what is being referred to here. Go with me to John chapter 1 and verse 29, where John says, next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, what would that mean to us if we didn't have it explained to us? If we hadn't been revealed to us? We wouldn't know. You see, many of the things that are in the Scriptures, if there wasn't an explanation with them, we wouldn't know. And that doesn't, when it talks about a mystery, it's not talking about something that cannot be known, simply that's something that hasn't been known. All right? And that's what we have to kind of keep in mind when we read about the mystery. A lot of times people want to make this all, like something that cannot be figured out, and you need to have some sort of special insight that nobody else has. Brethren, it's all in the Scriptures. The Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. We can look back and see what was being spoken of, but they didn't know at the time. It was a mystery to them. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, Peter talks about the fact that it was from beforehand, from eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. We read, starting in verse 18 and going through 20, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It was foreordained. It was decided. It was God had this plan from before the foundation of the world, before humanity. We could read over and over again in the Scriptures in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26, where we read about this again, about this whole thing with the mystery that is revealed. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. We read, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5, we read, Ephesians 3:5 says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit. So we see that even though God had started revealing things, that he didn't give the full explanation. It wasn't fully revealed to the people. Matter of fact, Peter, we just read verses 18 through 20 of the first chapter. If you go back just a little bit to verses 10 through 12, even the people who were prophesying, the people who were revealing these things in the Old Testament, they didn't fully understand what it was that they were saying. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 10, But of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. And this glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them. And have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They didn't understand. They were prophesying. They were revealing these things, but they didn't understand it themselves many times. They would look into it. They diligently studied. find out what am I saying? What is it that God has me saying? And they didn't fully understand it. What happened was that it wasn't meant for them to understand. It was meant for them to reveal, but it was meant for us to understand. The mystery was meant for us, not for them to be understood. Beforehand, previously, it was a mystery. Now, it is a revealed mystery. And so we read in many other scriptures, in Ephesians and in Colossians, that it is revealed unto us, unto the saints, this mystery. We're going to get to the mystery itself, the simplicity of the gospel of salvation. See, God was revealing the gospel, but they weren't ready to understand it yet. And so he would put a clue here, a clue here, an explanation here, an example over here, and he would start making all these different things so that when it came time, it would be revealed, we would understand it. Our greatest sin is he had this plan that our greatest sin, the greatest sin that man could accomplish, killing the Son of God, would be the very basis for their own salvation, for the salvation of all men, Jew or Gentile. Jews wouldn't understand that. Gentiles didn't really care, or if they did, they weren't going to understand it either. Angels couldn't understand it. Satan didn't understand it. But God was revealing it all along. We understand it because we've been told what the answer is. We got to remember five facts when we think about this, the mysteries that God reveals in the Scripture. First of all, God's desire and his plan to save mankind was, first of all, foreordained. It means that God didn't just kind of take whatever happened and say, okay, life is giving my son a bunch of lemons, so I need to make some lemonade. It wasn't that, well, how am I going to take this and make the best out of it? It wasn't Jesus is going to go in there, do the best he can, and I'm going to make sure that I fix whatever happened. It was all understood from before the creation. That Jesus was going to come and he was going to die in a certain manner for mankind. That's exactly what Peter is talking about. It was foreordained from eternity, from before mankind. God knew this was going to happen, and as a matter of fact, he was going to take this and he was going to use it. And that was the mystery that the people didn't understand. How in the world is he going to work this out? How is it going to take and make this happen? But it's important that we understand that very point. Jesus, if you go through, when you study the gospel, the four gospels, you understand it. How many times Jesus tells his disciples, look, I've got to go to Jerusalem and I've got to die. I have to do this. This is something, this is the reason I came. I am going to die. My blood is going to pay for everybody's sins. And he kept telling them, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. We're not going to go to Jerusalem and give it the old college try and try to win. And if we lose, oh well, at least we gave it the best we had. That's not what he says. He says, I'm going there and I'm going to go and I'm going to die. That's the purpose. I'm going to Jerusalem. And it was foreordained by God. This is exactly what's going to happen. Jesus, you're going to go and you're going to die. You're going to die on the cross. You're going to get mutilated first. And then you're going to die. And then you're going to take the sins of the world upon you. And then you're going to know what real pain is. You've got to do that. Second, it had been a mystery. Colossians 1:26. Nobody understood it except God. Nobody. Not the prophets, not the angels, not the demons. Nobody understood it except God. It was a mystery. Third of all, it was revealed in bits and pieces. The mystery was revealed by God, but it wasn't revealed all in one passage. It was revealed throughout time. Bits and pieces, and that's what Peter's talking about in the first part of chapter 1 there. Now, it's called a mystery because people didn't understand it, not because it couldn't be understood. But the mystery is now fully known. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We read verse 5. I want us to read verses 1 through 5 in order to get the context. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He says that this was given to him, and he wrote it down, and it's understood. He is expecting us to understand, those who read, that we understand these things. And so this mystery of God is not a mystery that cannot be known, but it is a mystery that is known and has been revealed. It doesn't mean unknowable. It means previously unknown. Have you ever read a detective novel or a mystery or something like that, or watched a movie that's a mystery, and it keeps you wondering? You see all these twists and turns, and you're wondering who is it that did what, and they're putting clues out there all the time. And all along the way, the writer of the mystery is leaving clues. Or the movie that you're watching, you've got clue after clue after clue. At the end, when you know, then all of a sudden it all makes sense. You go back and you watch it again, and this time knowing the end, and you see clue after clue after clue was dropped. You see that all these different things that you maybe you didn't pick up on before, or maybe you picked up on a few of them. But you understand now because you know the answer, because you know how it ended. In Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23, Paul reminded Agrippa that he was just preaching what Moses had and the prophets had said was going to be taking place. He says, I'm not doing anything that's strange. I'm just preaching to you exactly what Moses said. Exactly what he talked about. He says, you know that. He says, you know enough about the Jews that you know that. I'm not coming up with some answer or coming up with some twist. I'm not coming up with something of my own initiative. This is something that Moses talked about. This is something that God revealed to him. And he says, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm just revealing that. And in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. Peter says pretty much the same thing. Go with me to Acts chapter 3, verses starting in verse 22, and see the way Peter says it. Second sermon. Most of us are familiar with this first sermon, but we kind of, that second sermon, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to, but starting in verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord of your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he may say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquity. What's he saying? He's saying that simply the same thing that Paul was telling Agrippa. He's saying simply, God, as when he was saying all these things, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand when he told Abraham that all the nations would be blessed in his seed. They didn't understand when these things were said. But he said it was meant for us, for us to understand. It wasn't meant for them to understand. They just had to be faithful in preaching the word and prophesying. We are the ones that have been had it explained to us. And what he's talking about is the salvation of mankind. How he's going to bring people together, make one nation of all people, and then he's going to save them from their iniquity. Philip, when he preached to the eunuch, he preached Jesus from the Old Testament. He went to the Old Testament, but he wasn't preaching about the Old Testament. He was preaching about what was prophesied, what was spoken of. And the eunuch says, I don't understand when I read these things. Who is he talking about? Because he was still reading the mystery. And so Philip says, well, let me explain it to you. Let me cut to the end here. Let me explain to you what the mystery is. Then when you read it, you're going to understand what he's talking about. You'll understand what Isaiah is saying. Because it was a mystery back then, but it's revealed now. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it wasn't something that couldn't be understood when the chief priests and scribes were asked by Herod about the coming Christ, about where he was going to be born, and when. They knew they were enough to answer him correctly. They were able to tell him. He says, hey, what's this prophecy about the Messiah? And he was able to tell them. They were able to tell him, exactly what he was asking about. They understood. They didn't understand the detail. They didn't understand the explanation, but they could understand what was written. They could understand the clues that were given. It was meant to be understood. When we go to Joel chapter 2 that talks about the Holy Spirit, you read that in Joel chapter 2, and you say to yourself, what is he talking about? That his spirit is going to be dispersed among all flesh. He's going to be given to all flesh. What does that mean? And it takes us into the New Testament to understand what it is that he's talking about. When in Isaiah start talking about in the last days, people are going to be coming to Jerusalem. They're going to be coming to the mountain of Zion. You say, what are they talking? What is Isaiah talking about? Well, once Peter starts explaining it in Acts chapter 2, it's easier to understand. You read Psalm 16, where the psalmist says that God did not leave him abandoned. And you say, well, he's talking about a situation that he may have had. No! It was a messianic thing. When you read Psalm 22, about the crucifixion, or Psalm 110. When we read any of those psalms, it was a mystery in the Old Testament, but it's revealed in the New Testament. And so we look at these things and we can say, these are messianic psalms. These aren't referencing the situation primarily of what's going on at the time. These are referencing Jesus Christ, which would be coming 1,000 years later, or 500 years later, or 1,500 years later, or whatever later. They weren't speaking about themselves, they were speaking about the mystery of the Christ. Now how did Paul know? In John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said that there were more things that needed to be revealed to the disciples, but that they had to wait until the Spirit came, which would be after his death, to reveal these things to them. He says there's a lot more things, but it's not time yet for these things, these mysteries to get revealed. There's coming a time when the Spirit's going to reveal these things. And again, in Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, Paul said they had been revealed to him. It's after Jesus' death. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul says that he wasn't taught them in the rabbinical school. He wasn't taught of men. These things that were explained to him, these revelations, they were not given to him by man, but by Jesus Christ himself. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, again, he says the Holy Spirit, the one who can read the mind of God, is the one who revealed these things to him. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus promised that the apostles... The Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. not mysteries, into all truth. And the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 8, Paul also said he had the revelation. In other words, the Holy Spirit didn't just come upon the 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost, but also revealed directly to Paul. In other words, Paul didn't depend upon the explanation that the 12 apostles gave. He was not taught by man. The revelation that he had was direct from Jesus Christ. And he makes a pretty big deal about that fact. That he didn't learn these things from mankind. Paul makes it clear that the revelation of the mystery is the fact that God would make of the two nations, he would make the one. And then he would save them all. You see, when it being revealed back in Genesis 3:15, when God is revealing it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when the prophets are speaking and prophesying, when David is writing the Psalms, these are all referencing this that's going to be coming up. But they don't understand them. They don't even understand what they're writing. But it's for us to understand. And it is understandable. If it couldn't be understood, it's important. If it couldn't be understood, then revealing it would be pointless. If God revealed it to us and it was beyond our capacity to understand it, then what would be the purpose of revealing it to us? We couldn't understand it anyway. It can be understood. And that's what Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 is talking about. John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. If it couldn't be understood, then our mystery would still be the mystery. And the manifold wisdom of God wouldn't be known. God says that he demonstrates the manifold wisdom of God through the church. And if we couldn't understand it, we wouldn't be able to understand the manifold wisdom of God. It wouldn't do any good. But he wants us to understand it. Let me get to the conclusion here. God's mind prepared this in eternity. Because his ways are greater than our ways, we couldn't understand it. It would be like if I was an engineer and a child asked me, how does a reciprocating saw work? And I started explaining to him about electrical motors and how they reciprocate, and it wouldn't do any good. They wouldn't understand. I need to explain it to them in baby talk and children talk. I would need to explain it to them in a way that they can understand. God had this prepared beforehand, but he had to tell us in a way that we would understand it. He revealed parts throughout history. The angels, the prophets, the demons, Satan himself couldn't figure it out. He just couldn't figure it out. He had put it out there, but they just couldn't figure it out. Jesus came and he fulfilled it in his flesh. And we now know this because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Simple, isn't it? When we know the answer and we read Genesis 3:15, about the seed crushing the head of the serpent and the serpent bruising the heel. You say, oh, we know what that's a reference to Jesus Christ. Because we know the answer. When we read in Genesis chapter 12, God talking to Abraham, oh, we know how everybody will be blessed. That's in Jesus Christ. When Moses says, you know what, there's a prophet that's going to be coming that's like me, but he's greater than me. Oh, we know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. It's simple because we've already seen the end. Like that mystery movie.
or that detective knowledge. We already know. And so when we go back and read, it's easy for us to understand. But you got to understand that before it was revealed, they didn't understand. It was a mystery. But it all makes sense now. And so the question remains, are you a Christian?
Now that you know what God had planned, now that you know what God was revealing throughout history, now that you know how everything came together, and you say, okay, it all makes sense now. Does it? If you're not a Christian, that doesn't make sense. How is it that you can understand these things and not be a Christian?
God says you can make that right. It's a free gift that He gives to us.
Free. Jesus has done everything for us that we can't do ourselves. And He gives it to us free.
He says, hear the word and believe it. Repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remain faithful until the end, you receive the crown of life. But you've got to become a Christian. You've got to accept that free gift.
If you don't, then all that will have done you no good
on the judgment day. Maybe you're already a Christian. You've sinned. You ask for God's forgiveness. You ask for the brother to pray for you. We'll be glad to help you in any way that we can. We'll be glad to pray for you.
Maybe you're going through trials and tribulations. You want us to pray for you for wisdom in dealing with them, for strength or for intervention. Would you please come forward as we stand and as